The topic, the authorized version and its influence on English literature, is main topic, and under this the subtopic is the authorized version. First, introduction. The authorized version of the Bible, or only the authorized version as was the English translation of the Bible, both the Old Testament and New, which was jointly produced by a number of scholars in 1611 at the behest of the then King of England, James I. The Bible, the book of the books, has given a spiritual guide for the Christian world for ages and ages, and has been the most vastly read of all these books of all the times. Even as recently as 1995, the Bible in America was bestseller among books. It has been translated into almost all the languages of the world, and even many of the dialects. It is to Christian what the Quran is to the Muslims. But unlike the Quran, the Bible was the production of a joint effort of a number of inspired men and prophet. The Bible fall into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The two sections are further subdivided into a number of books. The former, the bulkier of the two, consist of 39 books, and the latter, the 27. Thus, in all, the Bible comprises 66 books. The Old Testament was initially written in Hebrew, and the New in Greek. The Old Testament tells the story of the creation, the ancient history of man, and the vicissitudes. Vicissitudes of the Jews, the chosen people of God, and also includes the prophecy of the future arrival of the Messiah, the deliverer, who would deliver mankind through his own sacrifice. The New Testament is in a way representation of the fulfillment of the prophecy, the arrival of Jesus. Arrival of Jesus Christ, his teaching and his career are part of the New Testament. The Bible contained writing on the following kinds: first, lyrical; second, prophetic; third, narrative; and fourth, didactic. The Bible is not written in verse, but the use of marked cadences, effective and frequent repetitions, and telling rhymes has lent in the kind of poetic beauty. The religious importance of the Bible is supreme and need no mention. It inspires and Christians all over the world the word of the God, which was delivered by him through the agency of the prophet. But its importance is not only the religious kind, it is rather all embracing. Scumble and Allen observe in the age of Shakespeare, Wall first, except the Quran, it is doubtful if any book has been more read. It has become part of the national mind and has permanently impressed upon that mind some of its simplicity and directness. Its novel figure, happy turn, and pithy sentiments are upon every lips. The Bible influence on Western literature, particularly English literature, has been tremendous. Henry Roger aptly remarks that there is no other book, and I think I might say no other 10 books, that have left so deep or so any traces in human literature, none that are so often cited or alluded to, none which have supplied so much matter or apt illustration, or been so often resorted for vivid imagery and energetic diction. The authorized version. The authorized version came as late as 1611, though the Bible had been translated into English much earlier, and quite frequently the earliest translation in patches come from the 9th and the 10th century. As we have already said, the Old Testament was originally in the Hebrew language. The the Septuagint in the oldest Greek version of the Bible and belong to the 3rd century BC. Both an Old and the New Testament were translated by Saint Jerome into Latin at the beginning of the 5th century AD, the year 405. It was the most authoritative version of the Bible, respected by the learned all over Europe. After many half-hearted attempts and at translating the Bible into the English made by a number of writers ranging over the length of the Dark and Middle Ages, it was John Wycliffe who gave the first full-length English translation of the Bible, which appeared in 1382 and later in the revised from the 1388. Wycliffe, who has been aptly called the Later and revised from in 1388, Wycliffe, who has been applied called the Morning Star of the Reformation, based his translation upon the Latin text of Saint Jerome. Wycliffe's English was simple, rude, and coarse, but not without some vigor. It was William Tyndale who was the first to translate the Bible into English direct from the original Hebrew and Greek text. He completed his translation of the New Testament, but before he could complete that, the Old Testament he was seized was a heretic, strangulated at the stake, and then burned. His unfinished work was completed by Miles Coverdale, and complete version of the Bible appeared in 1535. Tyndale's translation, reads the Encyclopedia Britannica, may be described as a truly noble work. Faithful and scholarly, though couched in simple and faithful language, it was Tyndale's translation of which the authorized version was mainly based, and it was he who made the Bible a truly popular book for the millions in England who started having daily reading comprising relating importance of the work of Wycliffe and Tyndale. Dr. Westcott observed in the History of English Bible, in noted comma, the history of English Bible begin with the work of Tyndale and not with the with that of Wycliffe, because not only did Tyndale based his translation on the original source, but because he made the study of Bible exceedingly popular among the common people who stayed up all night it peruse it and relinquished in its favor their old chap books and tales of the Round Table and the Robin Hood. In order to come a closed. After the work of Tyndale and Coverdale, we find quite a few attempts at the translation of the scriptures. In 1538 come a new edition of the Coverdale and Bible known as the Great Bible. Another edition of the same appeared in 1538, a carried preface by Cranmer. It was known as Cranmer's Bible. Matthew's Bible was published in 1537 under the pseudonym of John Matthew by John Rogers. During Mary's reign, and reformers took refuge in Geneva, from where they issued in the Geneva Bible 1560, carrying a marginal commentary tolerated to the taste of Puritan Archbishop Parker, issued in 1568, was what is called the Bishop Bible. Many other editions followed. It was felt in the age of James I that some perfectly authentic version of the Bible should be brought out so as to resolve the confusion in the interpretation of the Word of God caused by the multiplicity of editions. The plan for an authorized version took shape at a conference of distinguished scholars and divines convened by James I. They belonged to both an high and low church parties. The proposal for such a version was put forward by Dr. John Reynolds, president of Corpus Christi College, Oxford, and himself a man of low church leaning. The proposal was readily accepted by the king and the work of translation. The proposal was readily accepted by the king and the work of translation was assigned to 47 scholars and divines who were divided into numerous committees, each of which had to handle an allotted portion of the text. The whole work took 3 years and a half and was completed and published in 1611. It was known as the King's Bible or the Authorized Version in the belief that it was the king who had authorized the translation, but it must be pointed out that, as Harvey puts it, it was not authorized by any official pronouncement. The authorized version came out in two issues, known respectively that as the Bible and Sea Bible. He Bible and the Sea Bible. In the first, the word in the Ruth 3:15 read, and he went into the city, and in the second, and she went into the city. The version received immediate popularity and still enjoy it modern Bible. Say Harvey in noted comma are based with slight variation on the C Bible. Noted comma closed. One reason for its widespread popularity was its avoidance of sectarianism. Harding craze observed in noted comma, the authorized version thus gave no shocks to readers already familiar with the Bible, and since it was relatively free from partition bias, it was therefore quickly accepted by all denominations. In noted comma closed. The translators did their job pretty well and sincerely and adhered to the original text with remarkably fidelity, bothering not at all about stylistic mannerism and giddy drapery. They had been instructed to adhere to the Bessab Bible as far as possible. In fact, much of their work comes close to that the Tyndale. It is point out Harvey, practically the version of Tyndale with some admixture from Wycliffe. The authorized version was indeed a repository of cumulative excellence which it drew from Wycliffe. Tyndale, the Latin Vulgate, and some naturalized from Hebrew and Greek. The style too is not normally representative of the age. It looks back to often the capture and the fragrance of the stylistic flower long since extinct, as Moody and Lovett remark. In noted comma, in the King James Bible we possess a monument of English prose of no particular age, but gathering into itself an strength and sweetness of all ages. The topic, the authorized version, over. The subtopic of the main topic, authorized version, over. Second subtopic, the influence of the authorized version on English literature. Introduction. The year 1611 marked the beginning of the period in which the Bible became a truly popular book of the daily reading of almost the whole nation. It influenced alike the peer and the peasant, the noble and the churl, and the divine and the layman, and the scholar and the man in the street. Edmund Gosse maintained, in noted comma, not a native author, but owe something of his melody and his charm to the echo of those biblical ascent which were the first fragment of popularity, purely classical English, to attract the admiration in childhood. In noted comma closed. We may give here the testimonies of some great English writer. According to Milton, there are no songs which can be compared with the Song of Zion, and no oration comparable to those of the prophets. Bunyan considered the Bible to be the best of all books. Swift regarded the style of the Bible as one of the greatest perfection in any language. Walter Scott desired Lockhart to read the Bible to him when he felt himself to be arriving at his journey's end. For Wordsworth, the grand storehouse of enthusiastic and the meditative imagination are the prophetic and lyrical parts of Holy Scripture. Ruskin maintained, "I count very confidently the most precious and on the whole on the one essential part of all my education." Carlyle said, "In the Protest Cottage is one book wherein for several thousand of years the spirit of man had found light and nourishment." Newman referred to the scripture as composition which even humanly considered are among the most sublime and beautiful ever written. Macaulay regards the authorized version as an adequate example of the power and beauty of English language. Hallam, very like Swift, considered the style of the authorized version as the perfection of our English language. Many kind of literary influence. The authorized version has exerted many kinds of influence on English literature. This influence has been both thematic and stylistic, that is, it has provided the Englishman of letters scriptural theme and has also modulated their literary style. Thus, Bunyan and Oscar Wilde imitate the simple, rhythmical, repetitive style of the authorized version. Further ideas, sentiments, and even phrase have been frequently drawn upon from the authorized version or for use in writing of both religious and secular nature. Ruskin particularly was fond of packing his writing to the brim of biblical quotation, which came to him with amazing facility. Many phrases from authorized version have become a part and parcel of the English language and are often used in writing and conversation by those who have never read a page of the Bible. Such phrases as clear as crystal, arose as man, as one man, the sweet of his face, and a broken reed or instance is in point. Some specific writers. Let us briefly consider the influence of authorized version on the literary works of some specific writers. Let us begin with Shakespeare. Shakespeare borrowed no scriptural theme for any of his work, and yet the influence of authorized version on him has to be taken seriously. As Henry Rogers point out, no less than three works have been expressly written to trace the influence of the Bible and trace the influence of the Bible on his genius and writing. Milton was saturated with the spirit of the Bible. His magnum opus Paradise Lost has for its theme man's disobedience, resulting in his fall. Henry Rogers says the matchless energy of Milton's diction and many part of his prose writing is in no slight degree due to the use he made of his scripture. He incorporated in his prose very effective Hebraic cadences. About the influence of the authorized version on 17th century prose writer, Compton Rickett observed in a short history of history of English literature, the historian Clarendon and Fuller catch some measure of the stately rhetoric and Old Testament, while Sir Thomas Browne in his quaint Religio Medici, Robert Burton with his discursive Anatomy of Melancholy, and Jeremy Taylor in varying ways testifying to its influence. As regards John Bunyan, the same critic observed that his style owes more to the Bible, probably more than does any other man of later. About Bunyan, Lewis in A Short History of English Literature maintains, in inverted comma, he seems to have lived with the scriptures alone, indifferent to every production of the human mind, occupied only with the quest of the means of salvation. Compton Rickett further maintained in inverted comma, Edison's conversational ease is certainly influenced by them. The two testament, just as Swift reflect the sterner qualities of the prophetic Brooks, whilst in our own day, it is sufficient to recall the stormy vigor and Carlyle and the ironical eloquence of Ruskin, and to release the spell of Havarism over our master of prose, Pope's well-known tribute to Newton. Nature and nature's law lay hid in night. God said, let Newton be, and there was light, is an obvious echo of, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Dryden's reference in his Absalom's and Achitophel to Semi slings by Bethel, as one who loved his weaked never his as himself, is a near travesty of a teaching of Christ to love or never or ourselves. Of all these all the English prose writer, it is Ruskin who quote most copiously and most persistently from the Bible. The very title of his greatest work unto his last is a biblical phrase. The work contained more than 50 direct and indirect quotations from the Bible. Similarly, his lecture on work has a pronounced pulpit twang about it. The peroration of this lecture is no more than a torrent of biblical snatches. Many have disapproved of his needless text flinging. However, as he himself observed, his intimated knowledge of authorized version made it impossible for him to write an entirely superficial or formal English. Among the modern writer, Oscar Wilde is the most influenced by the authorized version. His allegorical stories like The Selfish Gent and The Nightingale and the Rose used a language which is highly imitative of the language of authorized version. To conclude with the words of Ivor Evans, the language of the authorized version, in inverted comma, has so embedded itself in our national tradition that if the Bible is forgotten, a precious possession will be lost. The topic, the influence of the authorized version on English literature, over, and the main topic, the authorized version and its influence on English literature, over.